You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a heavyweight slugfest. Defense ruled the day by the Bay as these legends came down to one final play. Meanwhile, Miami catches its biggest fish since Marino was their quarterback. Tua bags Buffalo. Are the Dolphins now the beast of the East? And then fly, Eagles fly. We'll explain why no one will have a better day all year long than one person in Philly. And that person didn't even play. All that and a whole lot more as we get up with you. Starting right now, it is a Monday. We are back and better than ever. Rex is here. RC is
Let's
here.
Let's get it.
And
hey. We treat.
Last night,
day in my life.
Dan Orlovsky was the number one trending topic on Twitter. If you do not know why, I promise you will find out as we go commercial free for our first 20 minutes. Let's roll it, though. We start with the battle of the legends yesterday. Rodgers, Brady, when you're a legend, you can wear a shirt with a picture of yourself on it that says greatness lasts forever. How do we feel about that, RC?
I love it. This is a guy that had his own documentary while playing. Why not wear your own face on your shirt?
Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers may have found a friend, and his name is Romeo Doubs.
He had a good afternoon, the rook. I love that down in the red zone. Catch and throw, put it on his body.
Romeo, wherefore art thou? And then it's Packers, Rodgers, this time Alan Lazard. Rodgers had himself a good day.
Yeah, subtlety on that. Move the backers. Make sure you put it on Lazard's big frame.
This was going to be a blowout. The Packers were on their way to running the Bucs out of their own building. This is Randall Cobb. They're up 14-3. And then this play turns the game.
You would fumble if you got hit by 350 as well. Aaron Jones is going to get sandwiched in between Levante David and the defensive tackle dropping underneath.
And so now we're going the other way. But then it's
Brashad.
He refumbles the football. We go to halftime 14-3 Green Bay. Tampa has still not scored a first half touchdown this season. Early third quarter. Aaron Rodgers never throws interceptions, RC, except against the Bucs.
This is a great play, though. This is the one Robert Logan Ryan is lurking, and you can see him coming from the opposite side of the slot, which is where you insert. Aaron Rodgers never saw it.
And then the pass rush, Rex. We know Tampa can get after the quarterback, and they get after Rodgers here.
Man, you're not kidding. And that's something that I think is a problem in Green Bay right there. You better protect that man.
Yeah, and so Rodgers goes down, so the Packers are forced to punt. So the Buccaneers, who had no offense all day, have a chance. And they move the ball right down the field, Danny.
Yeah, Green Bay softened up defensively, and Tom did a good job getting the ball out. They ran no huddle. It really helped them.
30 seconds to play. It's a one-score game. Brady, break, incomplete flag. Good call?
Absolutely the right call. Yeah. You can see the tug by 31. If he doesn't, Cam Brate's going to win on that outbreaker.
So the Bucs get a first down at the 2. Third and goal. 18 seconds left from the 1. Who's he looking for? Russell Gage.
The only guy he's got left. He peeks Rasul Douglas, realized he could fit that ball right on the back hip of Russell Gage.
Play clock may have run out before they got that snap off, and then that sets up the 2-point play for the tie. Watch the play clock. 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Al, how do they let that happen?
Lack of communication. You know, you're trying to get multiple plays. You got different bodies. Brady's trying to change at the line of scrimmage. This is their clip right here. We don't have any timeouts left. I can't stop the clock.
And so they've got to go for the 2 from the 7-yard line, and here's your ball game.
And I got no Mike Evans. You know, with Green Bay's defense and as good as they are, with no Mike Evans down there, 4th and 7 to go essentially, got no shot.
14-12, Rodgers beats Brady in week 3.
I have a ton of respect for him. He's been a trailblazer at the position for a long time. I'm thankful to be in the conversation with some all-time greats in this generation. I feel like I'm in that conversation. Been a lot of fun competing against Tom over the years, and it's always nice coming out on top because it hasn't happened that many times.
Too many plays where we were behind the sticks and not good on third down, and penalties, turnovers, missed opportunities. And, you know, defense played great. We got to play better on offense. We got to do a lot better job. We haven't scored many points all season. So 3 games, we got to get a lot better.
All right, so Green Bay gets the win. Rex, when was this game decided?
It was decided when Mike Evans was suspended. They had no chance. I mean, literally no chance. Russell Gage caught, I mean, he had a million targets in that game, and he's averages, you know, he's a fourth receiver at best, and that's your go-to guy. They had literally no chance. Red zone, Like, you get down there, could they have used Mike Evans in the red zone? Please. Absolutely, that game was lost right then.
So as Brady stands there, RC, and says we need to get much better on offense, there is reason to think they're going to get much better
on
offense.
Absolutely. Listen, Tom Brady has to feel like this is deja vu from 2019 when he was finishing with the New England Patriots and he had to cuss and scream and fuss every single week. But that's not how this started, and that's probably not how this is going to end. And so if you're Tom Brady, you continue to lean on this defense. You lean on the run game if you're Todd Bowles and a great defense. You were still in this game. For as bad as they played early, for as much as you felt like they were dominating, you had an opportunity to get a two-point conversion. And if you're all-time great quarterback, the greatest that's ever played, one of the best time clock managers in the entire world, gets to delay a game on a two-point conversion, that actually ain't your fault. That's his fault. And so when you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you come out of this game upset because your expectations are set so high, but you know you'll get better.
Well, they barely get the snap off, if they even did, on the touchdown play that preceded the two-point conversion. And then they get the 30, the play clock penalty there. Is that on the quarterback?
No, it's on all the moving parts. It's guys that haven't had a ton of reps in that situation. It's getting the play call in. You could see Fournette having to go from up close to back, shifts and motions. The fact that they, I think it's a real big kind of, it's difficult when you have all those new pieces having to play in that very situational football moment. It's not a first and 10 play call. It's a fourth and got to have it play call.
That said, in a game in which his team only scored 14 points, Aaron Rodgers had himself a very good day against a very good defense.
Candidly, Aaron Rodgers was flawless. Outside of one mistake on the interception where you're talking about by Logan Ryan, he made so many big-time decisions. You see in the bootleg game, Greeny, like his way to lull the defense, I mean, that's a huge play because it's covered. This is a huge play. He's going to get the defender, Carlton Davis, to suck back inside, and then he gets that flat route. These are easy throws, but they don't happen by mistake. This touchdown, catch the ball, flip, make the linebackers move, and then put it on Alan Lazard. So I thought he was flawless when it came to decision making, the subtlety and nuance that he helped guys get open. Outside of that one mistake, man,
the other piece, though, is this, Danny. You think about the entire offseason. We talked about the ways this team had to win, and you mentioned a lot of those the first week in the loss against Minnesota. But this is how well Aaron Rodgers has to play for this team to win football games. It has to be run game. Yeah. It has to be defense. But it's going to be him making this team better in the pass game than his part.
And I think what you got to love is the fact that their defense has, in the last 2 weeks, has played phenomenal football. That's allowing Aaron to be a little bit more patient. We saw Dobbs last week get a little bit more involved. Yesterday, a lot more involved. Right. If he starts to play better football, they got Allen. Those two backs, when they get in their two-back game, there's so much flexibility and variety that they can go with it. On the backs of a great defense or really good defense, they can get up to speed offensively.
Yeah, I want to pump the brakes on them, and here's why. You talked about Aaron Rodgers, how great he played, and I agree with that, okay? And this Dobbs coming in there and having bigger numbers. They scored 14 points.
That's right.
They scored 14 points. And you're going against a team that had no chance against anybody on offense. So I'm pumping my brakes a little bit on this football team. I still think this team, I mean, desperately misses Davante Adams.
Yeah, sure.
We're going to talk about Dobbs or whatever. Yeah, okay, and some of the plays Rodgers makes, again, flawless. And they score 14 points.
Yeah, desperately misses Davante. Can they be good enough to win the Super Bowl? Yes, both of those things can be true.
See, I don't think so. I think this team's much worse without Davante Adams.
When looking at this game in totality, you sit around and you say, which one of these teams can win a Super Bowl? As constructed yesterday, neither. Right, neither of them can win. Do you feel like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the team that has an opportunity to grow more offensively than the Green Bay Packers?
Ryan, can I say this right here? All right. No way we would want to play against a Tom Brady team or an Aaron Rodgers team, right? Because they're two of the greatest ever, right? Well, I'd sign up right now to play these teams.
But
right now.
When Mike Evans comes back and Chris Godwin comes back.
No, I'm not crazy. I don't
and on the
play.
Other side, a little bit. He may miss Davante Adams, but Davante Adams still hasn't won a game this year without Aaron Rodgers. Meanwhile, game of the day yesterday, South Florida. Take us there in the heat in Miami. Dolphins, Bills for the top of the AFC East. Tua was feeling good, but it was Josh Allen early. Isaiah McKenzie, Allen, his second touchdown of the day.
They had a great plan for Miami. He's all out, zero pressure. Love that on third and goal. McKenzie on that shallow cross.
Next drive, Tua. How about this throw?
Oh, my gosh. I love this throw.
He can't do this.
Fucking the ground and the rip.
We're tied at 14. What a game we have here. Now, later in the quarter, this is the moment that we'll be talking about. RC, take us through what we see here as Tagovailoa goes down, and it did not look like he would get
Milano's
back up.
Milano's continuing to rush. He gets pushed down. His head snaps against the ground, and this is what's scary. You're running back to the line of scrimmage, and you can't even stay upright. He looked like Hagler fighting Hearns. You know how wobbly his legs were there, and you think at this moment, Tua Tagovailoa is done for the day.
Yeah, he will pass through concussion protocol. He would say after the game it was his back that was hurt. That obviously is
can't
something
prove that.
That we'll want to talk about. Yeah, the NFLPA wants to talk about it. Meanwhile, critical moment at the end of the first half, Dan. Take us through it.
Massive. They're trying to get a little slant, get up to the ball, which is executed perfectly, and spike it. Really, the heat plays a big part here because Josh is going to fumble the snap, and then he doesn't have enough time to get that spike off. It gives him kind of the opportunity to get a field goal attempt away right there. I honestly believe he's probably soaked in sweat, and that ball goes right through his hands. He's not able to spike the ball and get the attempt off.
So they don't get a kick off. We wonder if 3 points was going to make a huge difference in this game. We call that foreshadowing. Fourth quarter now.
Come on.
With the ball trailing 17-14.
Come on.
It's
Dude,
TV Green. Jalen Waddle.
How perfect are they throwing?
Throw. Deep in the red zone, and this time he's going to give it to Chase Edmonds, and the Dolphins are going to take the lead in the fourth quarter.
Really like the performance by the Dolphins offensive line. Edmonds gets right down in the goal line.
And then on the other side, fourth down, Bills going for it. McKenzie is open, and Allen doesn't get there.
I think his foot just gets stuck in the ground. Mm-hmm. It almost looks like he's looking for Stephon right away, and then his foot just gets stuck, doesn't have enough to get on the football, and he knew it.
But wait, there's more. The Dolphins wind up having to punt from their own end zone. Rex, watch out. This play be known as.
Oh, the butt punt. Oh, there it is. Yes.
My man says his cheeks hurt.
Yes.
Rex Ryan was the coach of the Jets for Mark Sanchez. Legendary butt fumble. It is now joined in football lore by the butt punt from Thomas Morstead. It's a safety. So it's 21-19. Remember we mentioned the 3 points that Buffalo left on the field. Now it's Allen. It's Gabe Davis. They're moving down the field. It's going to set up this final play. Remember when they couldn't get a kickoff at the end of the first half? Now second and 20, midfield, 18 seconds. No timeouts left.
Yeah, Green, and this is the great play by Josh Allen to get the ball out of his hands. But McKenzie's like in this gray area because he can't get out of bounds. They're not ready to make a 9-1-1 call, which is everybody get to line of scrimmage. We're getting a Hail Mary off. They're trying to anticipate getting the ability to spike the ball and trying to make that kick. Just one of those in the middle gray areas where both opportunities presented themselves.
And so at the ends of each half, the Bills unable to get a kick in the air. The frustration, Ken Dorsey, offensive coordinator. It was that kind of day for the Bills. Hey, Tua, how about that win?
The expectations haven't been raised, haven't changed. For us, this is what we believed. We believed in each other. We believed in ourselves. It might be new to a lot of the people that are watching. But, you know, for us, we don't do anything more than what we're asked out there on the field, as well as practice. And that's what we do. We just trust each other, go out and play football.
So it is the Dolphins who come away with what I think feels like their biggest win since Dan Marino was their quarterback. But Rex, you were telling us in the meeting this morning, the biggest factor in this game was where it was played. Why?
Absolutely. The biggest home field advantage in the National Football League, especially in September. Why? Because your team as an opponent is in the heat the entire day. There's no rest. Everybody else on the sideline? No, for Miami, they're in the shade. So it's the greatest design of a stadium to give you home field advantage. I warned everybody about this game.
Yeah.
Everybody about this game because of these reasons. I've been up 2 scores in the fourth quarter and seen my team just get, you know, wilted in that heat. And you saw the same thing in this game.
And plus, remember that the Bills were playing on a short rest, right? They played Monday night turnaround on the road in the heat. And it certainly did seem to play at least some factor in what we saw yesterday.
Oh, no. But listen, it's huge. It's hot as hell down there. I live in Baton Rouge. Like, you just don't want to live life. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to just chill. The humidity, you can't put on lotion. You got to walk around ashy as hell. Like, it's difficult playing down there. And you
Green
saw those things.
Exactly what that
right.
feels.
I'll be honest. Here's the other piece,
Nothing
though.
Keeps me from putting on lotion, but that's a whole
here's,
other
Here's joke. The other piece, too, though. Josh Allen can't throw it 63 times. Like that can't happen. And the biggest thing I walk away from this game is everybody's going to say this offense and for Miami should have done what they were supposed to do against a team without their two best safeties, against a team that's missing all these pieces on defense. But Tua Tagovailoa, to me, he earned the seat, right? We got to watch him last week against the Baltimore Ravens have this amazing fourth quarter where he's dropping dimes. He's getting out of the pockets and out of the pocket and throwing the dang ball to Rivers Craycraft. Who in the hell is Rivers Craycraft? But that's the guy. He's out here killing people in the red zone. Tua Tagovailoa goes down, and I say to myself, he's not coming back into the game.
Yeah.
First thing I love is the fact that he wanted to come back in the game. Now, should they have let him? That's a different conversation. But that's the type of fight you want your starting quarterback to have. The second thing is you go 32 yards and 45 yards down the field to Jalen Waddle. You make huge, big-time throws, and you lead your team to a win. People are going to pick this apart because the Buffalo Bills were not full.
Sure.
I'm not doing that. You win against the people you play against, full strength or not, and Tua Tagovailoa willed his team to do that with a great defense.
Ball placement always matters. The Miami Dolphins won this game because of the ball placement by Tua Tagovailoa. It's why they drafted him number 5. It's why I think he's going to be a great pro, and it's why it always matters. So this doesn't seem like a big deal to people. It's first and 10. That ball placement is a big deal. It's perfectly right out in front. It allows the RPO pick to happen. That 4-yard throw becomes a 12-yard throw. How about this one to Jalen Waddle? RC's talking about it. The play action ball fake. You're going to get a wrap in. Now the safety's going to drive in the middle field. RC knows it. Put on his back hip.
Yep.
Not only to avoid contact, but he can put his foot in
now
the ground
spin out.
And spin out of it, right? Yep. Well, Dan, those plays don't really determine the outcome of the game, really. Because Rivers Craycraft, this one does. The post up top, watch his back leg hit the ground. Look at when this ball's coming out. Anticipation. Now can you do it, but also throw it exactly where it needs to while he crosses the safety stairs. Bang, right there. If it's not there, that's going to be tipped up in the air. What happens to it, RC?
Interception.
Pickies. That's why the ball placement matters. They won the game because of it. I thought it was a masterful job by Mike McDaniel, their head coach. How about this? The Buffalo Bills in the first 2 weeks led the league in pressures, 25, and they led the league in sacks. You know how many sacks they had yesterday? One. You know how many pressures they had yesterday? 4.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a great job of making sure that defensive line of Buffalo, they were not going to win the game.
And so the question one might ask is, does this mean the Dolphins are now the best team in the AFC East? What's the answer?
No way in heck. The Buffalo Bills are clearly the best team, and not only in the East, but in the entire league. Look, we're all excited about this right here. One reason they didn't have sacks, they weren't even on the field. They had 19 minutes of time of possession. Mm-hmm. This team got destroyed in the game everywhere but the scoreboard.
Right.
And when I look at this, they had 200 yards of total offense.
Miami did.
Miami did. Mm-hmm. That's right, with 6 starters out on the Buffalo Bills defense. It was the heat that got Buffalo. Yes, Tua's fantastic. And the great thing is, now everybody is on the bandwagon about Tua. Nobody saw it before. We saw the accuracy that we talked about when he came out of college. That's what we're seeing here. But I just think it's funny because, look, this team never knew how good Tua was.
You know what? Well, you know what I do think, though, and I think it's important we say it. We've been so caught up, and you're going to know this, in Tua and Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. They've been awesome. We all, in some way, forgot how good their defense is.
Yeah.
Oh, their defense was tremendous.
Yeah, yesterday they were phenomenal.
Real quick, the two other things we have to show you as we remain commercial free here for a little while. Yesterday was also a day in the NFL about vindication in 2 different places. We already showed you Rex, the butt punt, and your old quarterback, and our old friend Mark Sanchez, of course, the architect of the original butt fumble. When this was put, he posted, "Whoa, stay out of my lane, bro."
Boy, Mark Sanchez.
For our purposes, that's not the biggest thing that happened yesterday. This, of course, is Sanchez and the legendary.
You know how painful that still is to watch.
He also ran into a bigger butt.
That's Brandon Moore's butt.
Yeah, that's a lot of butt.
So that's that one.
That's a lot.
But then, I promised you that we would show you this. Last night, Jimmy Garoppolo had a pick 8, so he throws a pick 6, but he had already stepped out of the back of the end zone. He steps out of the back of the end zone, and Dan Orlovsky became the number one trending topic on Twitter by tweeting the following. Put up Dan's tweet. "I've never been happier. Danny, take it away."
I felt like Mel Gibson. Usually when you pray, you go like this, and I was just like this, like, it's a safe day. Hey, man, you will never hear me say another bad thing about Jimmy Garoppolo. If you ask me today who I think the Heisman or the MVP frontrunner is, it's Jimmy Garoppolo.
Man, you ran out of that thing
that's
for
still
a
the
long
best ever.
Time, though, bro.
We still haven't confirmed
eyes
that those
down the field.
10 yards, though.
Like, when did you realize it?
So and when we'll I got complete to the sideline,
we'll have full highlights of this game a little later. There's no question. Look, Garoppolo steps out of bounds. It's a bad moment. It actually winds up saving them points because he otherwise throws a pick.
Extremely intelligent. Yeah.
Dan literally ran up half the field out of bounds.
Yeah, if Dan was playing in today's
guys, you
world,
guys can't put me in a bad mood.
If Dan was playing in today's game, he would have ran all over end races.
It's still going to be Halsey
Orlovsky. Coming up, fly, Eagles, fly. Is this the best team in the NFL? We're talking about it. Plus, it was a night to forget for Jimmy G in a variety of different ways. More on the pick eight and what it meant for our buddy Dan as the morning
Yo,
continues.
D-O.
It's Get Up. The man is happy on ESPN.
Opened a great bottle of red wine when it happened.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. We're back on Get Up as you roll along. You know, as long as we're judging all sorts of interesting things, this, Ryan Clark, is Mac Jones. He's going to run it in for the touchdown, okay. And then he's going to hit the gritty. What do we think of his
gritty? Here's the first thing. People from Alabama steal everything from Louisiana. And Nick Saban taking all of our recruits. But now Mac is going to do the gritty. Listen, that's for Justin Jefferson. That's for Jamar Chase, Jalen Mills, all the millions of players we have in the league. Ain't no way. But he did rebound for Mike Gesicki and for your entire culture, Greeny. That he did do
hey,
for you guys.
Good
Don't
for
lay
you,
that
Mac.
One on me.
Way to go, Mac. Way to go.
We do our dancing in chairs where I'm going. Anyway, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are 3-0, and the future looks bright. Fly, Eagles, fly. We'll tell you why this may have been the best day they've had in years.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back on Get Up. Jalen Hurts and the Fly Eagles fly against the former quarterback Carson Wentz, who was there saying hello to old friend. Early second quarter, Eagles up 3-0, and it was this kind of day for Carson Wentz.
Absolute party at the quarterback by the Philadelphia defensive line. Washington had no chance to protect their quarterback.
He said hey to the ball too much. He said hey to old friends all day. Wentz was sacked
this
9
is good
times. And then here's Dallas Goedert.
I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a screen pass have six different bodies on the opposing team and go untouched for a touchdown.
On the ground, too.
And then it's hurt. How about this throw to A.J. Brown?
Green, that ball placement's perfect. It's on that back kind of shoulder hip to A.J. Brown to allow him to shield the defender with his body.
And then under a minute to go in the half, this is where they really put it away. R.C., how about these plays by Devontae Smith?
Listen, this is Bama to Bama. Devontae Smith climbing the ladder, slight of frame, but he gets up, makes a big catch in traffic, and this is huge. He's progressed every single week this season.
And then they're going to throw it up to him in the back of the end zone. Dan, how about this play to finish the half?
This is when you know your quarterback trusts your receiver. Mm-hmm. Hey, if I give you a chance once, can you make a play? How about twice?
Yep.
A beautiful job by Devontae Smith controlling his body.
He had 8 catches for 169 yards. Jalen Hurts threw for 340 and 3 touchdowns. And I would argue that there is no organization, no general manager, Howie Roseman, or anyone who had a better day or will this season than the Eagles did yesterday, sacking Carson Wentz, the guy they chose against 9 times in a game that was not nearly as close as the final score would sound, and it doesn't sound close. Rex, there have been a lot of people, and you were one of them,
yeah,
who questioned whether Jalen Hurts had the NFL skill set. Have you changed your mind?
Absolutely. And it also shows that hard work still makes
undefeated,
a difference.
Man. Yeah,
like,
bro.
I'm telling you, this kid, when he came out of college, he never had the passing skills, the accuracy to be an NFL quarterback. He worked on it. But here's the difference. This guy's running skills, he has halfback running skills,
mm-hmm,
and he squats over 600 pounds. Like, he's strong as a horse. You ain't hurting this
he's
guy.
He's built that way.
Like,
yeah.
So you got a tailback playing, like, that kind of skill set in a quarterback body. And right now, the one thing about his accuracy, I definitely question when he came out. Man, I tell you what, I'm an absolute believer in this kid.
It's two things right now. If you're talking about this team, you're talking about the best football team in the NFC.
Mm.
And if you are having any early MVP conversations that do not include Jalen Hurts, you're actually not having the correct MVP conversation.
Mm-hmm. That's real.
That's how well this team is playing. That's how well this quarterback is playing. We talked all offseason, what will new additions at the wide receiver positions mean for certain teams? It's been huge for the Philadelphia Eagles, not only because of what A.J. Brown can do and who he is, but what it allows Devontae Smith to do as the number 2 receiver on this team, on a team that can run the football against anybody in the entire league. When you watch the Philadelphia Eagles play from top to bottom, they have everything they need to compete for a championship as long as this is who Jalen Hurts really is.
Yeah, so it's different this year because the one thing that Jalen couldn't do, he's doing. You know, Jalen Hurts last year could not throw the deep ball, and I question, is his arm strong enough? The deep ball he threw yesterday, Devontae Smith, can't be better. This ball is going to be snapped on the 39-yard line. 1-2-3 hitch. Mm. Ideally, 44 yards down the field is perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Second thing, you can't play this team when they get into empty. Too many pieces. Watch Pascal up top. Devontae from the bottom of the screen. Watching this. RC, avoid and make that defender run underneath.
Yeah.
That's a 4-yard shallow cross that goes for 30-plus yards. And then this defensive line. 9 players yesterday for the Philadelphia Eagles had 16 pressures.
Yeah.
This is the best defensive line in football right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that. Howie Roseman, the general manager for Philadelphia, had a fantastic afternoon yesterday. He was right. I was dead wrong when it came to that position.
Right. Another huge piece when you talk about the back end of this team, already having Darius Slay, right? They go get Bradbury, right?
Yeah.
You get him from the New York Giants. You go get Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who was a great slot, and you've now moved him to his college position, safety. And so they've maneuvered pieces both defensively and offensively to win now. And we kept saying, what will the quarterback do and who will
they're
he be?
Hard to play
and
against,
through
man.
3 weeks, he's one of the top quarterbacks in the entire league.
It reminds me of the Josh Allen story in Buffalo. I'm not saying the players are similar, but the development is similar. They brought him along. They let him do the things he could do. They didn't try to force him to do the things he couldn't. And as he developed, the final piece to the puzzle was Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. It's A.J. Brown here in Philadelphia. It is a very similar organizational success.
No, absolutely. Absolutely is. And this team, this organization, went all in on their quarterback.
Yeah.
So they're like, no, we believe in them. And now you get in, hey, they draft Smith. They traded basically two first-round picks for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you traded a first-round pick to get Brown. Like, guess what? We're going to give this man weapons. Why? We know we got the quarterback.
I asked Brandon Bean, the general manager of Buffalo, about that. And he said, I couldn't ask Josh to play a certain way unless I put the right people around him to facilitate that. And that's exactly what's happened in Philadelphia.
Right now, the Eagles are the best team in the NFC. I don't think there is any room for debate about it. In the meantime, if he didn't stay up late last night, you missed more than just Dan Orlovsky's redemption. Sunday night football. It's Russell Wilson at home against Jimmy G making his first start for the 49ers. Rex, how about this touchdown pass to Brandon Ayuk?
Yeah, it's a good block by Samuel right there. Debo
doing
a great job of blocking right there.
49ers up 7-0 on a blatant pick play. And then they've got the defensive line. Down goes Russell.
There's San Francisco's defensive line, and then occasional blitz package is diabolical. But I love this from Russ here. Kind of telling that offensive line, be okay.
The moment again, Dan Orlovsky, go ahead.
This is the greatest moment of the NFL season so far, Green.
That is Jimmy Garoppolo pulling in Orlovsky, backing out of the end zone. I'm going to call this play the pick eight
because
it's a pick six and a safety.
That was only 2 feet. Dan put 17 feet in the
That's true. But then on the
you
same play.
Give me
play.
A bad mood, RC.
Stand by. RC, on this the is, same play, Trent Williams goes down.
This is the biggest play of the game for the San Francisco 49ers. He's the linchpin of that entire offense.
Meanwhile, the score was 7-5 because of the safety. Now it's 10-5, and Russell Wilson, Danny, can still do this.
Great, and you kind of felt it in this moment, a little bit vintage Russell Wilson, really good scramble on third down there, and then I love the fact they've gotten so cute down
punch
in the red zone early on this season.
Punch
Let's just
in.
Play a little smash mouth football with Melvin Gordon.
Could have given it to Javonte for my DraftKings team, but that's neither here nor there. The Broncos, it's 11-10, and now here come the 49ers, final minute, they've got a chance, and then they
don't. This is beautiful. P.J. Lock chases down the play. Instead of just making the tackle, he goes to make a difference, punches the football all out, Denver football, and that's a win for a team that's really struggling offensively, but found a way.
How are they 2-1? I ask on behalf of America. All we talk about are all the things the Broncos don't do, and yet they're 2-1.
Their defense? I mean, that's the dead honest truth. Is again, another team that we talked a little bit too much about the offense offseason. Their defense. They played like absolute dog trash the first 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They're 2-1, and they sit at the top of the division that we all thought might be the best division ever.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. Later in that game, a little bit more vintage Russell Wilson, a little bit more comfortable, especially late in that fourth quarter where you saw that 3rd and 7, I believe it was. This scramble right here, 3rd and 7, they haven't gotten anything on offense going.
Yeah.
He scrambles and finds Hinton, and then this scramble on 3rd and 5,
huge.
He gets 8-9 yards, and then he changes the protection at the line of scrimmage, and he finds Sutton one-on-one, the back shoulder fade ball. Reminds me a little bit of him and DK Metcalf. Now, that was nice to see for Denver's offense.
Here's the thing. The conversation about Russell Wilson this year, we've had it, you and I, is he historically great? Is he an all-time great?
No.
There isn't any question he's good, though, right? No, right. That's my point.
He's really good.
That's my point. He's good. And so last night, he shows you, and he's starting to show you, that at minimum, he's still good.
No, he's still very good. Here's the difference, though, right? We got into Russ cook, right? We got into the moon balls, and we thought about Tim Patrick, who's not playing right now, and Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, and we thought there was going to be bombs everywhere. But what we saw last night, especially late, like that was like early on Russ.
Right.
Right. Russ that can get outside the pocket and make plays. Russ
Correct.
That can find ways to be an extension of the offense outside of the playbook. And he almost seemed in the first two games that he didn't want to go back to that.
That
he was competing to be something else. And now you settle into this. Also, I just want you to say this, Greeny. You ask how can they be 2-1.
Right.
I'm finna tell you.
Please.
Geno Smith, Davis Mills, and Jimmy Garoppolo. We are not playing a treacherous role quarterbacks.
And they should have beaten Geno Smith, too. I mean, remember all the turnovers they had inside the five week one. But you're right. So far, the competition, when it steps up in class, we'll see. But the Raiders are winless in that division, and the Chargers look stunningly terrible. What do you think of the Broncos right now and Russell Wilson?
I think they're terrible. They scored 11 points.
Brady, they scored 11 points. All right? So to sit back and say, this is the same Russell Wilson, no, it isn't. And I'll tell you why. It's a way different scheme.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the best thing with Russ is pound the football and then let him, you know, let him do his thing. But throwing a deep ball off of play action is the best thing that he does. Mm-hmm. I don't see that with this offense. They're always in gun. You're taking away – the best thing you do is run the football, Denver. All right, offensively, at least it was last year. They're trying to put a square peg in a round hole. I don't get it. And they need to go back to doing what Russ does. Make this Russell, you know, a Russell Wilson offense, which, by the way, starts with predominantly running the football. And I think now they could be that team. They have the pieces, I think, to do it. But if they continue to run this offense, they're not going to go anywhere.
All right, so that's what happened last night. In the meantime, on these Mondays, I want to make sure that we get in at least a few thoughts on some of the other games we haven't touched on. Dan, how are the Bears 2-1 right now?
Their defense flies around to the football. They don't give up a bunch of big plays, but their offense, run game-wise, can get explosive. Yeah. Khalil Herbert is doing a really good job in their zone run game and creating some explosive runs. But their defense gets to the ball, they play hard, they don't give up big plays, and then they're capitalizing on turnovers and takeaways. Mm-hmm. Roquan Smith takes that interception near the end of the game. That's the game-changing play right here. They end up kicking the field goal to win the football game.
Rex, next up, Cincinnati. Did Joe Burrow figure it out yesterday, or was that just the Jets?
Well, I think it's a little combo platter here. Preseason's over.
I love
Joe Burrow ends up looking like, all right, this is our guy. You know, this is the guy we thought we were going to have all year. But his preseason's over. He had no work in training camp. I think it's more about the Bengals and Joe Burrow getting back at it. I will say this, though. The Jets, we're throwing way too many passes here. Lead the league in pass attempts with Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
They contributed to this. Sometimes when you run the ball, you help your defense out. I saw that.
And then finally, the Lions. We all love them, RC, but when are they going to win these close games?
I think they're building toward that. You look at this defense, they're not really, from a roster standpoint, built to close out football games. But that's why you have Aiden Hutchinson. That's why you have people on the outside who are young and talented. And I think they'll grow to that. But when you watch this offense, especially when DeAndre Swift and Amon-Ra St. Brown are healthy and playing, they can do whatever they want offensively. And that's with Jared Goff, a guy who we basically counted out after being traded to Detroit.
All right, and so that is most of week three. And then, of course, it wraps up tonight in a huge one at MetLife Stadium. Giants, Cowboys, our celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month continues 8 Eastern on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. Peyton and Eli back on ESPN2. Monday Countdown kicks it off 6 Eastern on ESPN. But wait, we haven't gotten to Patrick Mahomes and the Colts yesterday. How did this happen? The Colts, a game they desperately needed against the best quarterback in the sport. He's yelling at people. What happened? We're talking about it next. Get up on ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are back on Get Up. The Chiefs and the Colts, Indy needing a win in the worst possible way. Patrick Mahomes not happy with the way they handle the end of the first half. They're up 14-10, 20 seconds left, and they run out the clock. Danny, what do we think?
I'm actually okay with it. Harrison Butker, their kicker's not in. They got no timeouts. Their offensive line was getting beat up by Indy's defensive line. I actually agree with the coaching staff in Kansas City here.
Eric Bieniemy, you can see him saying, we're good. We're good. Andy Reid agrees. Fourth quarter, this wasn't so good. Chiefs up 17-13, 42-yard field goal.
but it's a fake. What do we think?
Greeny, there's one guy who can make this throw on planet Earth. Patrick McAfee.
Later in the quarter, same score. Chiefs looking to make something happen. You know who didn't have a good day yesterday was Travis Kelce.
And this is very rare. You don't see Travis Kelce drop footballs like this, and that's why Patrick Mahomes goes to him so often.
Neither did Matt Amendola, Rex.
No, and us Jet fans realize, hey, we've seen this before. Just he got a different color jersey.
He out there kicking like Danny Amendola.
Chiefs, Chiefs leaving lots of points on the field. And then here's a bit, Rex, they call Chris Jones for unsportsmanlike conduct.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't like that now.
Call a penalty on an offensive line for not protecting better. Who's Give me a break.
That keeps the drive alive for Indy, and they get it back to Jelani Woods, his second touchdown.
Credit Matt Ryan for hanging in there on a tough day, pressure-wise, in Jelani Woods on that crosser versus man.
And so now, with the Chiefs' last chance, less than 10 seconds to go, we got a tip, we got a pick, we got a ball game, a stunning defensive performance by the Indianapolis Colts, a team a lot of people had sort of left for dead. They find a way to beat Kansas City 20-17. Rex, how do we explain this? Of all the things that happened yesterday, this one surprised me.
Yeah, absolutely. I was surprised too. And I think this is the first time that you can say Kansas City missed Tyreek Hill.
Show me why.
And I'm going to tell you why. Gus Bradley's the defensive coordinator, same guy that's DC for the Colts. Sid is a cover three beater. He's always in cover three right here, and you're going to see how Tyreek Hill can run those deep over routes against this particular defense. Here's a different look out of it. All right, boom, he ends up beating it. It's still the same exact coverage, all he ever plays, and now he ends up separating. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill was missed so bad in this game. That's what my first thought of is, man, did they miss Tyreek in this one.
And again, it was a day of missed opportunities in so many ways. Yes, maybe they missed Tyreek Hill. They also have the drop in the end zone that we showed you. They don't go for any points at the end of the first half. Maybe that made sense to do at the time. The fake field goal.
Yeah.
They're obviously missing their kicker. So the Chiefs left a lot of things on the
field
yesterday.
They muffed the punt return.
I think what the Chiefs have gotten to is, in the past, we've seen them play like that and be so talented that they still win those games.
Correct.
And yesterday they just didn't. Obviously, when you look at the Chris Jones play and the penalty after, it's tough to deal with getting a penalty because you're talking, right? Like, what am I going to say to other grown men that's so bad you have to throw a flag? But when you look at this team, they're still searching for that guy. You know it's going to be Travis Kelce, but what happens on a day like yesterday when he isn't playing his best? What happens on a day like yesterday when Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes are disagreeing? Who's going to be that person on offense that steps up outside of them? And yesterday they didn't necessarily have it, but this is still one of the best teams in the entire NFL. Sure.
I'm not going to overreact. Two words come to mind: not sharp. That's what they were. Yeah. They just weren't sharp. And also, it really felt like watching the game, they believed we could just show up and win.
But you know, Patrick, how many times have we seen them have those days, you know?
Totally valid. They're not sharp and they don't feel like they're totally there locked in wise. And then he hits Tyreek on an RPO slant and it goes for 60 yards. Patrick wasn't sharp early on. He didn't see the field early on. That being said, Travis makes this catch and they likely win the football game. Right. They don't throw that flag on Chris Jones and they likely win the football game. I'm not going to react. I agree that there are moments when you sit there and go, they missed the vertical element. Him and Marquez Valdez Scantling have to get on the same page quickly when it comes to that, but they just weren't sharp.
The elements that we're talking about, the human element, all right, these are humans right here.
Right.
They saw the film on the Indianapolis Colts.
Sure.
I mean, it's absolutely brutal. I was calling him Matty Cold as Ice. He's skunked the first 2 weeks. And so they're going to get overconfident. Sometimes you can try
to
fight
it. Funny?
You're assuming that your team's always going to get up the same week in, week out.
Kansas City loses, which is an opportunity for the Raiders and the Chargers to make up ground in their division. But what happened? Titans, Raiders. Late second quarter, Titans already up 14-10, and here comes Derrick Henry.
Finally got their run game going a little bit yesterday. The outside zone, you can see the arm tackles trying to bring Big 22 down, not good enough. Good for Tennessee's front.
He would eventually punch it in, 21-10 Tennessee. A minute 17 to go, Raiders down 24-16. Fourth down, they're going for Derrick Carr in the end zone.
Why wouldn't you one-on-one cover?
Yeah. Raiders within two, two-point try. They need this to tie, and it isn't there. Titans survive. The Raiders fall to 0-3. They've lost their three games by a combined total of 8 points. So that's their side of it. How about the Chargers taking on the Jaguars? Second quarter, Chargers down 6-0. Justin Herbert, he's playing hurt,
and he's hit.
Yeah, he's going to take a shot here at Green. You see third and long, kind of the story of the Chargers offense over the past couple years. He just makes up for it. Watch, look at his face right there, grimacing in pain. Definitely. You can see those ribs starting to hurt him.
Meanwhile, how good is Trevor Lawrence?
Watch his ball.
Golden child.
I mean, this kid is playing big time ball.
Hey, you got a real coach.
Jaguars up 13-0.
This guy should be on the bench.
James Robinson.
No, he shouldn't. He's my guy.
50 yards to the house for a touchdown. Jaguars win this 38-10. Inexplicably, Justin Herbert was out there until the end of the game. A quick moment on that. Brandon Staley said he wanted to be out there. Herbert said he wanted to be out there. He's playing with the rib cartilage, and the quarterback is out there in a 38-10 game late. What'd you think of that?
Well, first off, I never thought he should have been playing. What we said, Ryan and I know, our job's to hit him and make him uncomfortable.
Yeah, right.
Trust me.
You want to see that
make
grimace.
Him uncomfortable. If I have a quarterback like this, that's the future not only just of this team, but the future of the league, I'm not putting him in there until he's 100% healthy.
Okay, that said, I'm old enough to remember when the AFC West was going to be the best division in the history of football. And now the Raiders are winless. The Chargers are 1-2 and they look just terrible. Denver somehow keeps winning these games, but they don't look that impressive. And the Chiefs lose yesterday. What happened to this division?
Is that we're dumb enough to believe that the off seasons are more important than Sundays? And I think we fall into that. Like, you see all of these pieces being added to teams and you understand what these teams are at the most important position, and you think that immediately translates to wins. But you have to go out and play. You have to be able to stop Derrick Henry in the run. If you're the Raiders, you have to understand, if you're the Chargers, you know what? Our quarterback is not necessarily what he has been because of the injury. How do we play football differently, especially by slowing the game down and winning in all three phases? And so I think that these teams are finding out you don't just walk out on Sundays and beat other professionals.
My theory is that the NFL is just that good. The parity in the NFL is the greatest it's ever been. We went into this season coming off of last season saying this is going to be the best NFL season. There's like five or six bad teams. I honestly don't know if we have five or six bad teams.
You like Michael Jackson right now. Who's bad?
Who's bad?
I mean, the Raiders are 0-3, and they got three losses by like 7 points.
Yeah. Right.
The Chicago Bears, I thought, were going to be the worst, one of the worst teams in the league. They're 2-1. I mean,
Houston competes in every game.
Houston's in every game.
Yeah.
The Jets beat a team in the Cleveland Browns that are very easily 3-0, if not for a collapse. So I just really believe that this we are setting ourselves up to have the greatest NFL season ever, because we really don't have teams that are going to be show up, and it's a layup win for you.
I misspoke. The Raiders have been outscored by 13 points in their three games that they've lost. One way or another, they're the only winless team left. All right, as we continue, it wasn't always pretty, but Tua and the Dolphins got their biggest win in a long time yesterday. Why luck and clock management and Mother Nature had a whole lot to do with it. That's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.